Welcome back to another episode, and we are already on number five of our label review series, which I feel like this has gone so fast of going through all these different brands and types of food. But this is our first weight loss focused episode. So we're going to publish this right after the previous episode. If you haven't listened to it, it's a great episode of how to help my dog lose weight. And it's really focused on the science behind canine weight loss. But we're going to be focusing on one of the top weight loss foods out there and why they don't have weight loss, throw it
On the
all over the
label,
bag. We'll get to that in a second. But we're going to be reviewing today Beneful Healthy Weight Dry Dog Food. This is made by Purina. Dan's holding the bag up for those that are listening. And Dan, I know you are
I'm
dying to talk about
fascinated by this
this
dog.
dog that is on the front of
Do you have the
the
website too? This
bag.
is
Yes.
as my dog comes, my dog is
Oh
fascinated by
my
this dog, apparently, too. He
gosh.
wants in. All right. Here's my beef with this dog. He's super creepy, graphic. Like, this is not a real, it's like, it looks like a real kind of an image, but it's a drawing. But that, look at his weird eye. Like, dogs don't have that,
Yes,
right?
it's
Or do
so
they?
hard
Like,
to.
does a dog have like a crazy white? It, like, that's not how a dog's eye
I
looks,
think
huh?
some of our homework after we record this podcast is what breed is this, and do they actually have whites in the side of their eyes? Because it
It has a
looks like
dock tail. It's a
so
dude. It's got a doodle thing,
looks
but
like
it's
a
got a dock
golden
tail.
doodle mix, but it looks like a dog that they photoshopped eyes on that are very human-like
Creepy
to
human
kind of give
eyes.
that like kindness. Oh,
I
this
am a
kind of
child. I am not a dog.
like, please help me
Cartoon
lose weight.
character. No, it's like cartoon character. That's a
It,
thing. In cartoon
yes.
characters, they make them look very infantile. Oh my gosh, we're unlocking this in real time. Like, that's established that like little kitties that are extra, one thing that makes them feel cute to us is that they have higher ratio of eye size to head size. Their eyes are relatively big.
Yes.
It's a big, unlike when I just do that, it actually looks cute on them. And so cartoon character, like Disney cartoon characters have big childish eyes to make them look that way. And so does this weirdo Beneful dog. You can take a look at it again and then we can let it go. But
It's like real but fake. It's so weird. Yeah.
striking weird graphic design creation. But yeah, we're going to talk about Purina Beneful Healthy Weight with Farm Raised Chicken. The number one ingredient is, I think, of the name of this product.
Yes, and I think we can really start. And again, we go into this way more in detail in the previous podcast episode about how to help your dog lose weight and the science-proven methods to do so. But I think it's good to just recap and just really summarize the importance of weight loss. I think that's a
Sure.
good place to start. We
Yeah.
know that we know even as humans, it's important for us to be at a healthy weight. It's also very important for our dogs to be at a healthy weight. But I think if you could summarize it, Dan, in a couple sentences,
You
what is
bet.
the importance of weight loss?
It's a single, other than not poisoning your dog, it's the single most important thing that you can control with how you feed your dog, period. Like it has a colossal impact on their health and longevity. Much more, like you said, everybody on in a general sense will tell you that like it's bad to be fat, but it's like it sometimes is lost. Like, how much of that is health benefit? How much of that is social pressure? How much, like, okay, there's a health benefit, but how quantifiable? How big is it? Dogs, it is huge. It is unquestionably bigger than any other like epidemiologically identified that's like health condition in dogs. Like, there's no other thing that you can, your dog might slowly develop over time, something like arthritis or even like diabetes, that has as direct an impact on lifespan as obesity. Clearly is shown in the science that it's way bad for your dog. The fact I always used to, I like to give is that being moderately overweight is worse for a dog than a lifetime of smoking is for a person. Shortens its lifespan more than a smoker's lifespan is shortened by smoking. It's not just about weight, it's about fat. Making your dog leaner is what you're going for, not weighing less. And there are kind of three different levers you can pull to help your dog lose fat. You can exercise it, you can hold everything else equal and exercise it more. You can hold everything else equal, but feed it fewer calories, or you could hold everything else equal, but feed it less carbohydrate. Those are the three different things you can do. You can do any combination of the three to have a cocktail of levers, to mix the metaphors. There are, in as we explained in the previous episode, the main issue with exercise as a matter of fat loss is that it doesn't move the needle very aggressively. Dogs don't burn that much extra fat through exercise unless they get a ton of it. Like, it's just hard. Calorie restriction, some of the issues are calorie restriction results in loss of weight, which means more than just loss of fat. And so restricting calories while restricting something like protein is suboptimal, and also means you're feeding your dog, in all likelihood, what amounts to cardboard, like stuff that is in a food but is not calorie containing. And reducing carbohydrate is my preferred method, I think is the most sensible method by far. So those are the three things, the ways you can do it. And, you have a bunch of dog food products that exist in this day and age that you will find yourself drawn to if you are looking for a food to help your dog lose weight. What you are unlikely to find outside of a vet's office is a food product that says anything about weight loss on it. You will, if you're searching for it on Google, you'll find these products. If you use the expression weight loss food for dogs, you're going to find them. And you're going to see some language that's related to weight loss on the product, but you actually, it won't tell you like this product will help your dog lose weight, or this product helps overweight dogs, or this product helps fight obesity. And the reason for that is that in the United States, the Food and Drug Administration regulates the sale of dog pet food products. And one of their most important rules is that you can't make claims concerning disease treatment or prevention on the label of your product, which is a pretty sensible rule, as far as I can tell, in that you shouldn't be able to make dog food and say this cures COVID or whatever, like if it's not true. And the standard for whether it does or not should be really high, and that it basically is. And so because obesity is considered a disease, you can't call weight loss is effectively like saying treating obesity. And so it's prohibited. And so instead, and this is why we kind of chose this product, it's a good example of how you can communicate through some good marketing that your product is designed for a weight loss purpose, even without using that language. And so the most tried and true method of doing this, going through this exercise, is instead of saying this product helps with weight loss or helps fight obesity, what it says is it helps promote the opposite of it. Like, this is beneficial, healthy weight. So you don't feed this to fight obesity. Of course not. You feed this to promote healthy weight. And it's sort of like saying like, you know, no, this is not a, this product does not cure cancer. It promotes not having cancer, but it doesn't cure. It's basically like that. And even though it's like kind of defies common sense, it doesn't run afoul of the way the rules are constructed. And so it's perfectly legal. And so it's very common if you're trying to sell a product that you think people should buy because they want their dog to lose weight. So that's why you get all these like healthy weight, optimal body weight, perfect body, stuff like that. You even get, it's an extension of that. The most egregious one, I don't think we've even done this Blue Buffalo, but like Blue Buffalo has like their, I think they call like life extension line. And it's just like, okay,
I have not seen that. Okay.
Life protection or life extension. Okay. It's one of those two. And it's just like such an example of how technical compliance with the rule can still completely undermine the purpose of the rule. The purpose of the rule is like, you can't mislead people about health claims on your food label. And they're like, well, but we're not talking about treating a disease. This is just about maintaining the condition of being alive. but anyway, that's the world.
Yeah, and it's also why you don't have any claims of specific like weight loss promises either. I noticed that a lot on the human food side of like, you know, lose 5 pounds in the first 2 weeks, guaranteed. I know, especially as a woman, or products that are targeted to women, will oftentimes make that promise because they've done the feeding study, so to speak. But I've never seen that on dog food. And that explains a lot of what you just said of, well, there's regulations. It's obesity is considered disease, so they can't go out and claim
it
that.
It is part of it. I don't think that's all of it. I think there's even more. Yeah. So here's what I would say. A couple of things. Number one is I would wager that not a lot of these brands have a great deal of confidence that their product is going to result in something like that. So by offering a guarantee, they might be paying out a lot of extra money is one potential reason why you wouldn't see this more commonly done. Another is a little bit of a weird one, which is that like the pet food industry sort of sprang up before like the internet. I mean, it definitely sprang up before the internet, but like all the distribution primarily in a historical sense was all through brick and mortar stores where it's kind of hard to do guarantees. Like Keto Natural Pet Foods, my company, we sell over the internet directly to consumers and we lean hard on guarantees. We really tell our people, like, if this doesn't do X, Y, and Z, you can hit us up and we will refund your purchase price. And it's just kind of like, we can do that because we just like we're charging their credit card directly. We can do it. Whereas if Joe Schmo's pet store sells it and then you want a refund from Purina, it's kind of like a whole separate thing.
Yeah.
But I'm tend to think it's like I'm a big believer in guarantees and refunds. Like, I think it's like, if you believe in your product, you should offer that. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to be perfect for everybody. And I'm not saying it's going to be the right thing for everybody, but like if you're selling something and the point is, hey, this will help your dog lose weight, you should stand behind that, I think.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting philosophy. I totally agree. And also, before we get into the actual specifics of this product, I think a good kind of terminology to hash out is the, because it is all over the back of this bag, right? It's the weight reduction versus weight maintenance. And I think we all know the general concept, but I think it's good to just really understand a couple of specifics behind it or anything we need to know before going into the term of, you're feeding your dog a certain, you know, feeding size or quantity for this, or then you're reducing it to that. And they have the two columns. It makes sense.
Like, oh yeah. They, yeah. So
yeah, how they get to those, the feeding sizes too.
Right. Okay. Size. So to the extent that this product is going to help your dog lose body fat, the lever that you're pulling is the calorie reduction lever. This product is the nutritional facts. Everybody that's a longtime listener can work along. We've got on our guaranteed analysis panel, 25% protein, 8% fiber, 8% fat, 7.5% fiber, 12% moisture, and no statement about ash. So if I add up the percentages of the things I can calculate here, I've got 52.5%. Call in somewhere between 5 and 10% ash, and you're talking about 45 to 40% dietary digestible carbohydrate in here. You can check that against the ingredient list, where the second ingredient is whole grain corn. The fourth ingredient is barley. Fifth is whole grain wheat, all of which are food products that are composed almost entirely of carbohydrate. And so checks out with like what the kind of back of bag, as it were, math on the likely carbohydrate content. So obviously you can't lean into the idea that this is a carbohydrate restricted product. So the only way that this can can help a dog lose weight is by restricting calories outright. And like you said, they have two. So usually on Keto Natural bags, for instance, there's a recommended serving size for dogs based on weight. You know, in reality, the amount of food you're going to feed your dog is going to depend on a lot of stuff, how active the animal is, whether you're trying to take weight off of it or not, what the calories are, what kind of calories they are more protein, they're more carbohydrate, et cetera. But generally speaking, you'll find one recommended serving size on each bag. You can only say so many things, like a weight-based serving size. If a dog weighs 50 pounds, feed it a cup a day, something like that. Here on this product, you've got two, basically. You've got a feed it this much a day for weight maintenance, or feed it this much a day for weight loss. And basically what you've got is, if you use the weight loss column, it's 25% less calories per day. So you're talking about, if it is the case that the maintenance number is right for your dog and you're feeding your 50 pound dog, gets its prescribed one cup a day, and his body composition and body weight are staying exactly the same. If you take 25% of the calories out of its diet, it is going to lose weight. And all else being equal, it will lose weight 100%. It's not going to be to at least a significant degree the weight you want to lose, because you're definitely going to lose some skeletal muscle mass in connection with that, feeding a product that's only 25% protein but 40% carbohydrate. But 100% guaranteed, if you're feeding a dog maintenance, like what you're feeding before is truly keeping it at the same weight, if you take 25% of the calories out, it's going to lose weight. Probably at a reasonably quick clip. Like you'll be able to, if you're a little bit patient, this stuff takes time, but over the course of like a month, 2 months, you'll be able to, like, you'll watch it, you'll notice it.
Yeah, it's like it has to happen, because you're already reducing it the 25%.
Yeah, exactly. That's the law of thermodynamics, is what people typically say. It's like those calories are gone. They got it. Like, so anyway.
But I think it's important, because you went through the sentence, and we cover it pretty extensively in the previous podcast episode of how to help my dog lose weight. It's, you're losing, when you're pulling the lever of calories, you're losing fat and muscle.
That's right.
So that's right. Just important to understand where, yes, the pounds will be coming off your dog, but you're not, you know, you're losing the curves, so to speak, but you're also losing really important muscle mass that will help,
it's like
in life too.
It is very good for your dog to be very lean, have very little fat in its body. It is not good. It is actively bad for your dog to have not very much skeletal muscle in its body. Muscle is medicine. Fat is poison. And so if you are losing muscle while losing fat, I don't know that there's good evidence to say, like, exactly, like, is that on the balance still good? Maybe, sort of, but both have impacts on longevity and, like, what's called health span. Like, as a dog gets older, its body loses muscle mass naturally, just like people do. And, you know, you basically, the longer you can keep a good amount of skeletal muscle on the body, the more you can do good things. You know, this, like, super active seniors that you see. I saw some woman today that's 81 years old that just ran a marathon. It's like, oh my God. And it's like, they can do that because they've done a really good job about fighting the natural muscle wasting that occurs as you age. And so if you help that along by restricting calories and restricting protein while you're restricting calories, that's not an optimal outcome for a dog.
Yeah, no, we don't want that. We want really strong, healthy seniors. And I can say that, having two senior dogs in my house as well. So
dude, try having one that weighs 150 pounds. It's like, it becomes a really big deal, because holding up that big body is hard. You need to be super strong. And so it's a really big deal for people that have aging, like, you know, giant breed dogs. And so for most of my dogs' lives, keeping them as lean as possible is basically the most important rule for my, like, just operating. But with Nash, who's already now a senior, he's St. Bernard and he's 11 and change years old, it's more like, I want to keep muscle on him, even if he has to get a little bit fatter, and nobody wants their dog leaner than I do. It's just like nobody.
Yeah.
But I'll take it at this age, because, like, the chronic diseases that get spun off of obesity, that, like, obesity raises your risk of, once you're like old, if you just start experiencing those, like the additional body mass, like the fat mass at that point, you're kind of like, you've gotten there. You know what I mean? Like, I used to talk about that with, like, grandmothers, like, they've earned it. They can eat, they can drink whatever they want at this point. Like, it's all that, like, risk that develops from a lifetime of some quality, whether it's being overweight or smoking cigarettes or whatever, that stuff still takes time to produce disease. And so if your dog is like, you know, is 12% body fat instead of 8% body fat for the last year and a half of its life because it's a senior, it's like, I want it. He needs to keep muscle. So
yeah. Since you're talking about your dogs, just real quick, and then we'll dive into back to the show, back to Beneful.
Birthday boy.
Yes. Yeah. I think we need to wish a little Wayne or Wayne-y. We need to wish him. He's officially a year old, so that he's just one, the hugest,
the biggest one. He's the biggest one ever that there seen. Is. Super big one. Like, I can't call him. I know someday we'll have an episode where like I set up the technology with like adequate safety precautions that he can come store. Like if I call him in here, he comes storming in and he's just like a bull in a china shop. He's so big and strong.
Yeah,
and
we'll hear so like windows breaking in the background.
It's
so
just like the computer would fall over. He's such an he's a joy, but he is a nightmare too. Like,
yeah, he's so huge, big and intense. It's so funny, intense. like looking at like the photos you were posting and just, you know, obviously we have them in like, you know, you put them out on social media and stuff like that. But when you look at him straight on, I mean, he is thin. Like,
yeah, he's lean.
He doesn't lean. Have the curves.
Nope. No carbs from 8 weeks old. You know what I mean? He's just like, and nobody eats more than that dog. Just nobody. Oh, like, he eats six cups of food a serving or something like that. It's just like,
he's amazing. Well, happy birthday. Happy one.
Yeah. Happy one, Wayne. Congratulations. You made it. I put a birthday post up about him and I was like trying to say nice things because I tagged some of the other people who like the woman who raised him as a puppy and stuff. And I was like, you know, he's bold and playful and very affectionate. And like, I wanted to address his intelligence. I was like, and he's smarter than he looks. Like, I was like, I can't say he's smart. That's not true. But he looks like a doofus. And he so does. I will say that he's smarter than he looks. I was proud of myself for that phrase.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's so funny.
Aggression.
Digression. It's a good digression, right?
Yeah. All right.
Well, speaking of doofus looking dogs, let's go back to but I think this is an important part because this stood out to me.
It's a very important part. This is very substantive.
When we chose this food to feature on this episode, and I was going through, because we always go through the website and we always try to see like, okay, what facts are they trying to pull out about the food and how are they framing it, right? So we often use the term halo. We've used other terms of like, you know, just marketing tactics, things like that. But this really stood out to me. And I think let's do a deep dive on protein. So
yeah, if you're not watching it, what she's got pulled up is this ridiculous looking dog next to a bubbly statement that says 24 grams of protein per cup to support strong muscles. And we're caught, you know, it's addressing protein content and maintaining muscles, as we just talked about, is a very important, totally valid health thing to be concerned about. But the issue that this raises to me is, okay, there's 24 grams of protein per cup. How much is that? Is that a lot? Is that a little? It's like they're bragging about it. So it sort of seems like it's important. On the bag, it's like they've got on the backside, like a kind of bullet list of like what is presumably the things they think are the best selling points about the product. It's like number one ingredient, real USA raised chicken, real. I don't know what that, no artificial or flavors or preservatives, blah, blah, blah. And then it actually says 26 grams of protein per cup on this, but you know, it's like, this is them saying that's a lot, or you should be stoked about that. And so it raises a couple of interesting things. The first is notice that they're using grams as the expression of how much protein is in here. That's interesting because it doesn't map with the way that protein content is required to be disclosed on pet food labels. So if you've been listening to our show for any period of time, or if you're like reasonably conversant in how pet food labels are constructed, you know that the nutritional information, the numbers nutritional information, is in what's called the guaranteed analysis panel. And the guaranteed analysis panel isn't framed in terms of grams. It talks about how much fat, fiber, whatever, protein is in the food, but it doesn't say anything about grams. It talks about it on a percentage basis. So for instance, this product is crude protein, minimum 25%. 25% and 24 grams coincidentally, in this case, like are similar numbers. Mm-hmm. But the bigger point is like, even if you're like very fluent in pet food labeling, you've got a reasonably good sense of what guaranteed analysis number to look for to indicate like high protein, right? Like we have a whole episode devoted to like how much protein should my dog eat? And we talk about it in terms of what percentage of the weight of the food product that your dog is eating, because that's how it's expressed on the label, you know? And so like our main recipes are like right around 50% protein. It's really high in the kibble world. It's not as much as a wolf eats. It's way more than AFCO requires you to put in. But the point I'm trying to underscore is that it's in those percentage terms. So like when I saw this and it's in grams, it's like the first thing that sticks out is like, oh, that's weird. Nobody, if they sit down and think about it for a minute, is going to have any sense of whether that's good or bad. And I think that's the idea, basically, yeah. Is like, you can't tell it's bad. Cause like, I know more about dog food than you ever want to know. I wrote a book about this. I run a dog food company professionally. And like, if somebody was like, how many grams of protein a day do you try to feed your St. Bernards? I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I just don't think about it in those terms. And so I'm very confident that 999 out of 1,000 people that are purchasing this product have no idea, not even close, how many grams of protein a day they're trying to feed their dog. And that's really different than in how we think about our own dietary, your dietary choices for yourself and mine for myself. Like when we go buy products, food products, I also, just like with my dogs, I'm trying to eat a lot of protein and a little of everything else. That's sort of like a general rough guideline for like good health, as far as I can tell. And so but in the human world, grams is what's like, that is how the issue is most commonly analyzed and talked about. It's like the FDA's nutrition facts panel on human foods puts everything in gram terms. It's got a percentage-based thing too, but it's in gram terms. And so when I look at an energy bar, a protein bar, I eat a lot of those. I eat them after I work out every day. Which one am I going to choose? Well, I flip it over. I look at the nutrition facts panel. I go, this has this many grams of protein in it. And I have an intuitive sense because I've looked at so many of them. That's got what I want. That doesn't. That's not enough. That's not very many. That has a lot. Whatever. Nobody has that in the dog world. Nobody. Like if I don't have it, nobody has it. And so the fact that they're using it there is, I'm telling you, the reason they're doing it is they're like, look, we can put it on there and it feels like a lot because look, we're talking it up. It should feel like a lot. That's a good way to do it. And which just strikes me as like, I don't know. It makes me feel,
yeah,
feel
and
things.
I think,
I don't know what they are.
I wish that I come from the creative and design world and I wish that dog food had like a scale or spectrum that was like on one side, here's the minimum amount that AFCO of whatever, the protein, fat, whatever that AFCO requires. And here's where this food falls. So if right. You look at, you know what I mean? So in our protein episode, we discuss like AFCO, the minimum amount required, and you can delve into this as soon as I make my point, but it's 22.5%. And there's this 25%. So it's not exactly this huge leap bound hill in a valley away from this minimal amount, this minimum amount of 22.5%. It's just a sprinkling of percentage points to get to where they're at. And so, yeah, I agree. I think that's what frustrates me the most is with pet food. I remember standing in the pet food aisle many years ago and like looking and be like, I have no reference point. I don't know if this is good or bad. They're saying right. They're calling it out on the packaging, but I don't know if this means that this is good.
And that's right. And that's why I feel icky about it is because the reality, you help flesh it out. The reality, like that is framed as if to say like, even if you don't know how many grams your dog needs a day, this is a lot. Why would we be talking about it if it's not a lot? Well, the reality is it's not a lot. This is a very low protein product. This product, like you said, is just above AFCO's legally required minimum for complete and balanced pet food products. If this had 2.5% less protein, it would be illegal because it wouldn't have enough protein to prevent your dog from developing a deficiency disease. Okay? Like, how can you, on the one hand, tout the amount of protein when you're selling something that's basically as low protein as you can find anywhere on the market? And the answer is you do shenanigans, these marketing shenanigans. You kind of pull the wool over to people's eyes. You rely on the fact that it's not a well, that the, it's just an under, it's a poorly understood consumer marketplace. It's got industry friendly regulations that allow for these kind of shenanigans. And so they take place, but it's really misleading. It's a shame that if anybody was like, I know it's really important. What if you had a dog that was like mine and he was a senior? And you're like, I've listened to Dan and Jen talk about protein and how important it is for an aging dog to maintain important like skeletal muscle mass. I'm going to make sure I feed my dog a high protein diet. You go to the store, you don't have a ton, like your budget doesn't allow for the most expensive products. You're shopping in the Purina aisle and you see this product and you're like, 24 grams of protein a cup. That dog's eyes are so beautiful. That dog is smiling like a Disney cartoon character. He has so much protein. It's unbelievable. Look, it's 24 grams. That's great. I'm doing it. You just got, you got tricked. And that's, I guess there's one other, this is speculative, but it just strikes me that for me, 24 grams for myself is like a reasonable indicator that, oh, that's pretty good. That is like in my numbers of like for instance, if I was going to get an energy bar protein bar and it had 24 grams of protein, my take on that is like, oh, that's kind of a lot for an energy bar. That's like for a lot of people, I eat a lot of protein. For a lot of people, that's like, oh, that's a good number. That's like way more than you're going to get in a lot of breakfasts that people eat. If you eat like oatmeal or cereal with milk for breakfast, it's more than that. It's like a pretty good. So if you're like hip to that for thinking about your own nutrition, you're probably seeing 24 grams and being like, oh, that's pretty good. But you forget, like if you're, you know, 24 grams per cup, if you're feeding your dog one cup in the morning, one cup at night, that's one energy bar of protein twice a day. It's just not that much. For comparison, we did the math. I did the math. And keto
Natural. Why? Because I can't do math. Jen's the math person, Jen. I have to say.
Jen, so defensive.
It's okay. Math, we all have our strengths and weaknesses. Okay, absolutely. Go ahead.
The math says that Keto Naturals Ketona chicken recipe has about 57 to 60 grams of protein per cup. It is a pretty, one of our goals is to use as much protein in it as we can while doing a variety of other things that are also important. So basically it's a really important thing to get a lot of protein in, but that is the type of number that's like, oh, that's high protein. That's a lot of protein. That should feel like, oh, that's a protein rich food. It's not as much as a wolf eats. A wolf is a good deal more than that, but it's kind of a lot. And it's like more than twice as much as is in this very deceptive product.
Can we just talk about the vegetables on the front? I just want to make sure that we get delicious. This in the episode because this is an interesting call out that they make. So you have the bag there, but yes, they call out accents of, you know, the, what is that, like apples?
Well, so one of the ways that you can get around, this is more my legal background informs these perspectives more than my pet food background, but one of the sneakies that you can just about get away with if you're selling a consumer product is you can say things that pass muster legally because you're not making direct claims. You're making kind of like derivative claims is a way to say it, I guess. I'm sort of like trying to figure out how to word this on the fly. But like they're not saying this is our formula with apples, carrots, and green beans. Just like Blue Buffalo is not saying this diet is the same as a diet eaten by a wolf. They're saying accents of apples, carrots, and green beans. Mm-hmm. Blue Buffalo says this diet is inspired by wolves. And so you have this like, it's a way to get the, if your eyes are glossing over that inspired by language, or you haven't stopped to think about what that means and doesn't mean, and just go to like, oh, this is wolfy. This is for like, I feed my dog this. This is like a wolf, even though it's not really. And it doesn't, they would in court would say, oh, well, no, we're not saying this is a wolf. It's just because there's a wolf on the bag, and just because it's got a buffalo that it's chasing, we're not saying this product has any meat in it. This is just inspired by wolves. And something similar is going on here. We were trying to figure out what it is. We don't know. what accents of apples, carrots, and green beans means. I mean, the one thing that those products all have in common is that we all think of them as being part of a healthy human diet. Mm-hmm. We all generally think of fruits and vegetables as being healthy foods for people to eat. These are not natural things for a wolf to eat. It goes without saying, but they're colorful. They have a health halo attached to them. Yeah. And I don't know if somebody, and maybe somebody else can speak to what the accents thing is.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to their ingredients list, as most of us know, the order in which ingredients are listed on for a product is by the weight quantity. Is that how to word it? Or weight quantity?
By the weight. Yeah. I mean, it's like what fraction of the weight, total weight of the product.
So chicken is the number one ingredient. So I do have to call them out. So they do say they do.
It would be hard to miss it. You know, it's like it's in the name of the product.
But they do have, they have the dried apples, dried carrots, dried green beans towards the end. But I think this is an important note to kind of like end on. So we started the episode with, you can pull these different levers, right? You can like pull the carbs, reduce the carbs. You can pull, reduce calories. You can increase exercise to help your dog lose weight. Calories, you know, do help your dog lose weight, but they also make them lose muscle mass. But carbs are the most, reducing carbs are the most effective to reduce fat in your dog. But look at these ingredients, right? We have the third ingredient is whole grain corn. The fifth ingredient, soybean meal. Sixth ingredient, whole grain wheat, corn gluten meal, rice.
And it's more, loaded. It's like, we're not going to try to explain, like this concept is super hard to explain. But if you're a longtime listener to this show, rehydration, one day we'll go into it. But basically it's, if the first two ingredients in your product are chicken and chicken byproduct meal, which is a way of saying parts of a chicken, and yet your food is 45% carbohydrate, something's weird there, because chicken doesn't contain any carbohydrate. And so something's up, and there's basically a pretty sneaky process that's commonly used in the pet food industry called rehydration that gets around some of that. But it's like, I think where you're trying to go with this is like, this product obviously can't tout the fat fighting benefits of restricting carbohydrate intake, because it's got a lot of carbohydrate in there. Mm-hmm. It's one of the bullet points on the bag. It says, oh no, just kidding. It says energy fueling whole grains. And so I thought it said energy fuel for.
Well, it's another health halo statement. We've seen this on other products where it's like, you know, burst of energy with, you know, the whole grains. And it's like, wait, what? I know.
But yeah, so it's here's the, like, you can't highlight the fact that carbs make you fat if you're selling a product that's supposed to be for healthy weight and it's 40%, 50% carbohydrate. Mm-hmm. So what you do instead is you highlight a different view of the world. Instead of a carbohydrate focused view, you focus on a calorie version of the world. And so their language on the bag says, calorie smart recipe that's 100% complete and balanced for adult dogs. Meaningless kind of calorie smart. What does that mean? It means nothing. Like, basically what it means is they're putting the word calorie in front of you again. Calorie, calorie, calorie. Get fixated there, not on carbohydrate when you're thinking about body composition and weight loss issues. Think about calories. Think about calories. Calorie smart nutrition to help maintain a healthy weight. And like we talked about on the show, calories do play a role in weight. They're just like, it's not a very sophisticated understanding. And it's kind of like, it's generally like, it's a way of minimizing people's thinking about carbohydrate without even having to say the word carbohydrate. You just give them something else to focus on instead.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be calorie smart
Gotta be
because you don't
calorie
want to be
smart.
dumb.
Eat a
Just like.
balanced diet. You gotta make sure you eat a balanced diet.
Well, awesome. Well, this is really good overview of, thinking about if you want your dog to lose weight and you're out there looking for food to help lose weight, just really not just zoning into, like you said, the forced framing, I guess you could say.
That's an excellent way to put it. That's an
I'm
excellent way to put it.
just
Yeah.
making this up on the fly, but
You
I
are
do like
creative.
that first, right? Who knew? Who knew?
I do.
Yeah, and it's I do like that idea and concept of this forced framing of like they're throwing the blinders on of like, calorie smart nutrition. It's already a reduction in calories. Like you can choose to feed less, and it just all of the framing piles up to almost this promise of like you got to go the calorie route. But I think just really honing in on again the previous podcast episode hits on the science behind it. But I think Dan, if you could like summarize in like a sentence or two, if someone's out there looking for a product or pet food to help their dog lose weight, like what are the key factors just to kind of like round this all home of like the biggest factors to help their dog lose weight when they're looking for a food, when they're
Two
looking at
ways
the label. Yeah.
to do it: reduce calories and or reduce carbohydrate. The only rubza with reducing calories instead of carbohydrate are, number one, you're in all likelihood reducing protein intake if you're just reducing calories but not carbohydrate, which has negative health ramifications. Number two, in all likelihood, you're feeding your dog non-food material as part of the food. Like, the most common way to get calories out of kibble is to use ingredients that are not calorie containing. So in this product, kind of didn't hit on that, but there's all sorts of like very fibrous things basically that are just like dietary fiber doesn't get digested. It just passes all the way through them. And so those types of ingredients, basically, that's like the whole usage of this. Soybean hulls in this case is probably the thing. So, and yeah, carbohydrate does a whole bunch of nasty things we've talked about ad nauseum on this show. So for that reason, reducing carbohydrate is our preferred way for taking body fat off of dogs. It also does those other good things and doesn't do the bad thing about restricting protein.
Perfect. Right on the dot.
Also, we're recording this in mid-October. It won't be long until Halloween arrives.
That is correct.
Do you ever dress your dogs up for Halloween?
We used to when they were puppies, but now I think it's just a
Too
tolerance
old?
thing. They just will not let us come anywhere near them. So they get really sassy. So we do not, but my mother-in-law does. She has like a little a dachshund, as we like to jokingly call it, but she dresses, the classic hot dog or like a ketchup bottle or it's so, but yes,
Those are
we do
very
not, but a
customable.
lot of our neighbors and family members. So do you is the question.
I haven't done it very much. Lexi, my girlfriend, has definitely leaned into it and she likes doing it. And she has an idea this year that she wants to be, she want her little dog is this little black mutt dog, mutt named Molly. It's like a cute little black dog. And she wants to dress up as Dorothy and have Molly be Toto and like have her carried in a basket.
Oh.
Like, and I'm a supporter of that idea. I think that's adorable too. Really cute. Do it. You should do it. But the brainstorming around that was like, wait a second, how can we broaden this? Oh, wait, Dorothy. Well, who does Dorothy go around with? Oh, she has like three pals, right? And they're like all dudes, right? And like, I have two dude Saint Bernards and a dude boyfriend. Maybe it's like you guys should be the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow. I was just like,
Oh my gosh,
I am
I
not
love that so
encouraging that idea. I'm just gonna try to be like, oh, it's a super good idea. We should talk about that on like October 30th at 5:30 p.m. or something. Like, so
That's
I
awesome.
really hope that we record our next one. It's not you being like, we're gonna start by pulling up this great photo from this weekend where Dan was in a
Let's
costume
do
party.
a photo analysis of Dan
Dan is the Tin
in his
Man. Which one would
That's
I be?
Oh, I would say Tin Man.
Yeah, robotic, heartless. Isn't that what it is? Heartless?
yeah,
Wayne
no.
is the scare. Wayne has no brain. for sure.
Wayne's
For
gotta be a
sure.
scarecrow. And I see Nash as the cowardly lion because he's
Yeah, he's
like
got a mane. He's a long-haired Saint
and
Bernard. He's got a
he's, you
mane.
know, he's to me, he's a little shy, but I've never really been around him. But
Yeah.
I don't know, he's kind of got that friendliness
I agree.
around him. But and also to round out this episode, if you have any ideas for a label or a brand that you would like us to review, please email us. We've gotten amazing emails. Or if you want to send us Halloween photos, we'll take
Or
that
ideas for costumes that
too.
Jen should dress
Ideas
up
for
in for our
costumes.
next label review
Exactly.
podcast.
Now I feel like a bad dog mom, but we always are taking emails. You can just reach out to us at hello@feedyourdogfacts.com and we can review other brands. Actually, we have a whole list of brands we haven't even gotten to yet
Yep.
from
Cool
submissions.
bros.
So we will get to those, I promise, for those who have written in. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to
Yeah.
another episode.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Until next time.
All right. Bye, Jen. Bye,
Thanks
everyone.
all. Bye-bye.